Welcome to Ask Marco. That's Marco Martinez. I'm Grant Cohn, and I got some questions for my guy today. I just had him on a few days ago. It was a real successful show. I figured I'd bring you back. Since we did that show, the Niners extended Colton McKivitz's contract. We're going to talk about free agency news, rumors, all that stuff. We're going to talk about quarterbacks, which is fun. But can you explain to me why the 49ers extended Colton McKivitz's contract? No offense to Colton.
So the way how I see saw that, Grant, is like you can look at it two different ways, right? Like it's only $7 million for 1 year. When the cap numbers go up this year, he's still making that 3.4, but it saves them $1.6 million to get under the cap because they were a little bit over. So now they're cap compliant going into Monday when they have to be. So the way I saw it is you at least have someone you feel comfortable playing. Like that doesn't mean he's the right answer there. But I do feel like it's the way of the Niners and Kyle Shanahan going on with it, saying they truly want to see how the draft plays out, how free agency plays out. That's how I saw it. Because if you truly thought Colton McKivitz was the answer at right tackle, you're getting more than a one-year extension, right? Like because if you do it now and then he eventually blows up and to be this really good right tackle, you get him on a cheap contract because you signed him a lot earlier than you were supposed to. So I literally just saw it as the Niners truly seeing him as a serviceable right tackle who now they could go into the draft going best player available, or if a tackle falls, they could still take a tackle. And now you have a cheap backup tight end, a tackle, because you're not going to be paying someone much at 31 or 25 if they trade up to get a tackle. So I know a lot of people saw it as a big $7 million number, but with the cap numbers going up, only 65% being fully guaranteed or guaranteed, not necessarily fully. Numbers get thrown out guaranteed wise doesn't mean it's fully guaranteed. Could be injury guarantees and stuff like that. I don't mind the contract. I thought it was too soon though. You could have done this in training camp.
Yeah.
Like it didn't make sense.
To your point, you're saying they're trying to get under the cap and they did it this way. So this makes him cheaper for this season and obviously puts him under contract for 2025 when he wasn't before. But to your point, it doesn't necessarily mean they can't bring in another offensive tackle. It's just, it hasn't really been like them to like over invest in that position. Although at $7 million, you could play guard at $7 million. That's not a lot of money. So if they got an offensive tackle, they could conceivably move McKivitz if that's the best five.
Absolutely. And when you look at it, it's one of those ones where everything that plays out, if Trent Williams retires, you could potentially move Colton to the left side or that rookie after year one to the left side. So the way everything operates is kind of one of those ones where I don't see it as preventing them from doing anything in the draft or free agency. I know a lot of people are like, oh, this means Colton McKivitz is our starting right tackle. No, it doesn't. Like if they trade up, they find a tackle in the draft and he outperforms Colton McKivitz in training camp, which is not hard to do, he's starting week one. You can now move Colton McKivitz to right guard, have him compete with Spencer Burford, John Feliciano. Colton McKivitz also has experience at center. Like, there's a lot of things that Colton McKivitz could do for the Niners, so I understand the price that they gave him. It's a cheap contract. Now, when you look at it in terms of the value for this year, so the $7 million for 2024 contract before free agency starts is the 34th highest paid offensive tackle next year for the 2024 season. For 2025, it's 31st. That's without free agency numbers or anything like that coming out for 2 years in a row. So he's probably going to drop this year to around 40, maybe even less. And then next year, it'll probably drop down to like the 38 range.
You know, the Niners really need to start thinking about Trent Williams. He'll be 36 in July. He hasn't played more than 15 games in a season since 2013. What are they going to do if he starts missing more than two games a year? If it becomes 4 or 5, 6 or 7, that's the kind of thing that could sink this team. So that's another reason for them to take an offensive tackle in round one if they like one. And I know people say, well, are you really going to get someone great at pick 31? They got Joe Staley at pick 28. It's supposed to be a great, I mean, you tell me. It seems like it's everyone says it's a really good class.
It's one of the best classes I've seen in a long time. I know a lot of people were like, oh, there's a couple of guys who are developmental guys. Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton. You can look at those guys as someone you could develop. Like, they're super raw, haven't played much, but super athletic. They fit Kyle's system. So those guys might fall at the end of the day because teams don't want to risk passing up on a really good, talented corner or a receiver
who can start right away.
But
the Niners just bought themselves time. They could definitely take a developmental offensive tackle in round one. They could.
Exactly. And then a lot of people, I'm very high on Kingsley Suomataya. A lot of lot of scouts, a lot of executives think he's going early round two. Remember, the Niners don't pick until the end of that second round. So if they truly wanted, you could take that player who's supposed to go before pick 40 at 31. It's technically not a reach because you're not going to have a chance to get him, or unless you trade back up. And trading back up to that top 40 spot is going to cost them their second round pick, a third round pick, and possibly more. I don't see the Niners doing that, wanting to re-up on talent, because they're depth-wise, Niners are hurting depth-wise because they haven't drafted well in the past couple of years. So when you look at it, due to first not having first round picks. So the McKivitz extension does kind of point to, you know what, we have a safety net just in case we don't like how the draft unfolds. We also have a safety net if Trent goes down, we can move Colton to the left side, have that rookie start right tackle. If Trent retires next year, you have someone who can slide to the left. Like, a lot of things are in play now, and I don't think the fans truly understand, like, $7 million for an offensive tackle is super cheap. Like, it's a really cheap deal. To be honest, I saw it as swing tackle money.
Fair enough. And it seems to me that when you have a player who's aging and who misses time like Trent Williams, you kind of need to think about having a backup who's good enough to start for a month or two if necessary. And frankly, no offense, I don't think Jalen Moore is that guy. They gave him a shot. I just don't think it's hard to win with Jalen Moore on the field. I'm sorry. He's a later round pick anyway. If they got an offensive tackle in round one and didn't start him right away, still, they'd be in much better shape for when Trent Williams misses his few games.
Well, the thing is with Jalen Moore, I don't understand why Kyle Shanahan played him at tackle. Like, he was if you look at Jalen Moore, even though he played tackle in college, he was 100% a guard. And then if you go at training camp, the times I've been there to watch Jalen Moore or the team, he does not look like a tackle. He doesn't look long enough, doesn't look athletic enough to be playing tackle. Like, he's truly a guard and they're playing him out of position. Like, it doesn't make sense. Same thing with Spencer Burford. He's not a guard. He's a tackle. But they're putting him in positions because they're trying to put a band-aid over the offensive line fix every single time. And it just doesn't make sense for me. To me, the way Kyle approaches his offensive line, understanding that if he has a better offensive line, his entire roster is much better. You keep your defense off the field more because you're able to run the ball and possess the ball longer. Just protecting Brock Purdy should be number one priority if he's truly your franchise quarterback. Doesn't make sense to me, Grant. It truly doesn't.
I'm with you on that. The Niners may need a starter at right guard. As you just pointed out, Spencer Burford was a left tackle in college. They're trying to convert him to right guard, and it hasn't worked out so far. He's still really young. They're not giving up on him, but John Feliciano, free agent. The last time the Niners needed a guard, they drafted Aaron Banks in round two, and he was a left guard in college. They tried to move him to right guard. It didn't work, and they eventually just redshirted him a year until Lakin Tomlinson left and played him at left guard, and it worked out. If the Niners get a right guard to replace Spencer Burford or whatever, can it please not be a left tackle turned right guard or a left guard turned? If they're going to get a right guard who's going to start right away, he needs to be a right guard. So my question to you is, are there any guys who played right guard in college who are projected to go in the first couple rounds who are legit?
Yeah, Christian Haynes out of UConn, as well as Christian Mahogany out of Boston College. Those two guys are phenomenal. They both played right guard. I would personally go with Christian Haynes. Watching his film, he fits Kyle's system to a T. Like, Kyle has to be watching him and like, oh my God, I could actually reach block to the right side and to that three tech and turn. I could get to the second level on the to linebackers. Going to the left side, like super, super talented right guard. The thing is, though, is he's probably going to go before 60. So they're going to have to trade up. They're going to have to trade up to get him. Same thing with Christian Mahogany. So like when you're looking at it, like you could truly get a right guard, but you're gonna have to trade up. Now, a lot of the other guards that are gonna go later in the draft, there's some talent later in the rounds. I think Christian Mahogany is one of those ones where he's borderline, could go before the Niners' second round pick, or he could be there. If he is there, a phenomenal talent. One of those guys where 6'3", 315, super big hands, 10.5 hands, powerful. Like when you watch him play, he plays like that nasty integrity, could pick up stunts, something that the Niners have struggled on that right side.
Yes, they sure have.
He has a good anchor in pass protection. But my favorite part about watching Christian Mahogany is he has that mentality to finish and pancake players. And when he's finishing, he's letting you know, like, he's all body weight on you, finishing a run block. But the only thing is, becomes very grabby at times, and plays with his chest over his feet, which in the NFL is going to be an issue for him. Bless you. So it's going to be an issue for him in the NFL, unless he corrects that. But then there's those first-round guys, right? Graham Barton, who some listed at tackle, some see him as a center, some see him as a guard, could move in and play right guard for the Niners. So it depends on, like, the Niners have options at guard. Like, this draft class in the interior, outside at tackle is really good. If I'm really going for a player where I don't think this is a player where it's a slam dunk pick, no matter what, whoever takes him, he's going to be a really talented guard in the NFL. Cooper Beebe out of Kansas State. Phenomenal player. The only issue is short arm length, 31.5 arm length. And that's probably going to be a knock on him for a lot of NFL teams. He has versatility. He started at left guard. He started at left tackle. But the issue is you want a right guard. I'm giving you a player who could play guard position, but he hasn't played right guard. So if they're going to go right guard, it's Christian Haynes, Christian Mahogany. Those are my two guys at that right guard spot. I don't see anyone else where after those two guys, it's kind of a fall off where you're kind of hoping someone hits at that right guard spot.
I never really understood why the Niners let Daniel Brunskill go. He was fine. They developed him. He was a perfectly serviceable right guard, maybe even better than serviceable, but he's gone. Too bad. They could have kept him. They actually could run right when they had Daniel Brunskill and Mike McGlinchey on the team. Now, the right side of the offensive line doesn't really do anything well. And they don't underperform. It's just that's what the Niners put out there.
When you used to watch Daniel Brunskill, Grant, what did you see from him? Because like he was like the utility Swiss Army knife, and then they just kind of treated him like they took him for granted, in my opinion.
They did take him for granted. And I feel like Rand Carthon or whoever, is it Rand? Who's Rand. He Carthon. Knew. He must have totally disagreed with Kyle Shanahan. I don't know. They must have felt he was replaceable. And replacing him again with Spencer Burford, it was like a left tackle? I mean, I guess Brunskill was a left tackle in, was it USF? What was it? The USFL?
Mm-hmm.
No, USFL. Whatever no, it was. He was XFL, a tackle.
Maybe.
He converted, but I don't know. I don't think it's working with Burford.
Well, what are your thoughts on Drake Brendel at center? Because like I think that's a big issue too for the Niners. Like the center issue, the center is Kyle's biggest point of the offense outside of left tackle, because that's Trent, the best player to possibly ever play left tackle. So what's your opinion on the center position?
Well, I thought Brendel's been pretty solid the last couple years. He hasn't missed a game. My question is, are we blaming him for all those unblocked free rushers in the Super Bowl? I mean, he's the one calling out protections, or were the Niners did they not have enough hats to block the hats? I mean, you tell me.
I mean, you point out a great point, right? He's normally calling protection, and Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy have all said this, right? He puts that pressure on the center.
Right.
So if your center is calling out pass protection and he's pulling himself to the left side and having the right guard pick up the blitzer coming through or the defensive tackle, and he's calling it wrong and calling stuff a certain way, like you kind of got to look at that. Like, is he good enough to call my pass protection?
Yeah. In the Super Bowl with the pressure of the world on your shoulders. Maybe not.
Has that been an issue in training camp and stuff like that when you're around? Like, do you see like whenever the Niners run a stunt or they run a blitz, like they don't pick it up properly?
That's hard. I mean, they've had a tough time picking up stunts and blitzes for a while. But yeah, I mean, maybe that's on him. Maybe. Do you feel like the coaches blame him for that?
I don't know if they blame him, but you definitely have. If you're like, who do you blame? If Kyle's not calling pass protection, if Brock's not calling pass protection.
That would be interesting because he is signed for a couple more years, but
It's easy to get off that contract.
True. Things that make you Jake.
And a lot of free agent centers out there right now.
Interesting. Well, the Niners they take that position very seriously as opposed to right guard. Let's talk about quarterback. Niners are in the market for one. It seems like Sam Darnold is going to leave and go somewhere where he might be able to compete or get on the field a little. He's not going to play here. And he knows it. So he doesn't need to be here. They could re-sign Brandon Allen, sure, whatever. But it seems like they're in the market for another quarterback. And given that their starting quarterback makes no money, it probably makes sense for the backup to make no money too. So I'm thinking draft. So my question to you, Marco, have the Niners met with any quarterbacks this offseason?
So shout out to Steph Sanchez. I know she had like a little thing where she puts out who is meeting with the Niners, who's talking to the Niners. I know the Niners have met with Michael Pratt informally at the Combine. Michael Pratt out of Tulane. That was reported by Rohan Chakravarthy, who's also on my channel. So shout out to both of them. Rohan asked Michael Pratt, hey, have you met with the Niners? He has said, he's like, yeah, I met with them informally here at the Combine. And then Kadon Slovis out of BYU, former USC, former Pitt quarterback. He met with the Niners for a very long period at the Shrine Bowl. So that's definitely something that the Niners have. They've met with two quarterbacks, but it's also, I don't think many people were asking, hey, have you met with the Niners? Or else you would hear a lot more because they're meeting with quarterbacks. Sure. Like they need a backup quarterback.
So Pratt, give me a scouting report. Where is he supposed to get picked?
Michael Pratt, I think he's a solid quarterback. He kind of reminded me of Brock Purdy, and I had pointed that out to Rohan when he was at the Combine. I was like, hey, you know actually who reminds me of Brock is Michael Pratt, someone who played at Tulane for a very long time, plays with anticipation, doesn't have the strongest arm, but he can make pretty much every throw on the field, athletic, very smart quarterback, pocket quarterback, where he wants to sit in the pocket, he wants to deliver on time to his receivers and get yards after catch. Very good quarterback when you look at him. And a lot of teams are going to value Michael Pratt in this draft a little bit more than they should. And he doesn't have like that physical attributes that teams want.
It's the Brock Purdy
starting quarterbacks. But the Brock, exactly.
He gets that Brock Purdy comparison. Like, oh, well, let's take him in round three.
Yeah. So that's around where he should go. Back end of round three, if not super early four. And then Kadon Slovis.
They could take a quarterback at the back end of round three. I mean, they took Beathard there. He took Cousins there. I just don't expect it. I think with Purdy as your starting quarterback, the fact that he was the last pick in the draft, I would expect the Niners to look more at someone that they could get in round seven, or maybe even as an undrafted free agent. Is that Slovis?
Yeah, that's Slovis. And remember how you used to, I know you used to, like a couple of years ago, you used to have this, your quarterback can't win a Super Bowl with a certain percentage of the salary cap. Like that was like a big point of yours. Hey, the Niners might have to think about that after next year, right? Like it truly is an issue for almost every team except the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
So do they draft someone until it develop? I don't know.
Well, I was doing a little bit of research on Slovis. He seems kind of perfect for what the Niners are looking for. 1,500 passes in college. So he's ready to play. He's played at BYU. I mean, they have all kind of pro concepts. He's turning his back to the defense, doing play action, rolling out. So he sort of seems like he would fit some of the things that the Niners asked their quarterbacks to do. And ran a 4.55 at the combine, 1.58, 10-yard split. He's available. If you could get him as an undrafted free agent, put him on the practice squad, I could definitely see the Niners getting that guy.
So the Niners could definitely get him, but I would draft him.
Draft him with one of like they did with picks, Purdy. Don't mess around. Yeah.
Make sure you get him on your roster. So what's crazy about Slovis is he started off his career at USC hot. Like people were like, damn, this quarterback he's the next USC great quarterback.
Right.
Has a shoulder injury during that 2020 COVID year. Gets surgery on it. Mm. Doesn't come back well. Transfers to, I believe it was Pitt, to try to resurrect his career. Has his worst year that year. Then transferred as a graduate transfer to BYU. And when you watch his film, like you truly do see a lot of those big time throws, like throughout every year he's there. So when you're watching him, for me, I like what I see. Nothing phenomenal. Like, he's not going to be a franchise quarterback unless Kyle Shanahan works his magic like he did Brock Purdy. But he has all the arm talent. He has the mobility. The issue for me is the IQ. He makes a lot of mistakes and doesn't see things the right way. And that's for me where I'm like, can you maybe if kind of a Sam Darnold effect, like where, hey, if you bring this guy in with talent,
that's not good.
Can you correct him and have him throw to that number? Just throw to the one read and that's it. Like, don't try to do too much until you later in the year, year two, where, all right, now let's let you go to read two. So that's where I kind of see Slovis is that Sam Darnold effect where after that first read, he doesn't know what
to do. You just talked me out of him. What I don't like to hear is the shoulder surgery. That reminds me of Christian Ponder. Remember Christian Ponder? He could run. Christian Ponder, he could run. He just had no arm at all. Is that Slovis? I was watching him. He looked actually, his highlights look nice. Slovis? I think, to me, I think I think he's going to be a 49er. Go watch his highlights from BYU for 2 minutes. I'm telling you, he's going to be a Niner. Seventh round pick, Keaton Slovis. Is it Kadon or Keaton?
I don't know. I think it's maybe Keaton, but I would say if you want to see his like highest point and what he could possibly be, go watch his freshman year at USC. Like, if you really want to see how good he was, go watch his freshman year at USC.
So the question is, did he get worse or did his situation get worse?
I think his situation got worse.
Okay. So a team like the Niners have this great roster with all pros everywhere on offense might feel like, put him here. Look what happened to Brock Purdy. He went from a quarterback no one wanted to MVP candidate. I'm not saying Keaton Slovis would be an MVP candidate on the Niners, but I could see them talking themselves into him. Wasn't Purdy also like pretty highly regarded as a freshman or a sophomore? And then he went down after that.
Same kind of thing. Just like, and also it was up and down years.
Yep.
And in the film, like, you see like those points where like, oh damn, like from Slovis, yep. that was a throw. You ripped that like over the middle. So you see a lot of the high level throws you want from a quarterback at the college level with Slovis. The biggest thing is he's played so much. And that's kind of something that NFL teams are going to value now after seeing Brock Purdy. That how much have you truly played? What have you seen? What kind of schematics have you seen? So that's kind of what I'm looking at with Slovis. I know a lot of people are not high on him because he went from superstar to seventh round pick. So
yeah,
that's where.
But it seems like with the Niners, that's part of what maybe what other teams overlook that they noticed. Hey, a quarterback who peaked early doesn't necessarily mean that he was, you know, a fraud. And a guy, we need a guy who's played a ton of football. End of story. Have to on our team. Maybe on another team, they have time to develop a guy, but we can't do it. We don't have the time. We don't have the capability. We need a guy who's thrown a ton of passes and a guy who can move a little bit. It seems like this guy has all three things, but I don't know if he could do the S2 cognition.
To be honest, so that what's crazy about the S2 cognition is a lot of people give it crap, right? Like, because of the CJ Stroud situation.
Okay.
What people don't talk about, right? Like, is it actually helped them in a way, because after all these, a lot of executives came out like, yeah, the numbers were leaked. They were wrong when they were leaked by whoever leaked them. But then what people forget about is Brock Purdy was on the elite range for that S2 score, and he's played at an MVP caliber level. So teams see this and they're like, okay, well, if CJ Stroud's numbers were wrong, Brock Purdy proved that this test truly does work. Like, it's able to evaluate your processing ability. What's Brock's number one ability? His processing ability. So, like, there's a lot to go take from that test, and I think it's valuable for the quarterbacks. I know the Niners value that test. They valued it with Brock Purdy.
So, my best guess, the Niners aren't going to try to blow Purdy out of the water. They like Purdy. They don't need Darnold. They don't need a third-round pick. I think a seventh-round pick, another one, and Brandon Allen. And if that's what it is, they met with Slovis. Seems like no one else is that interested in Slovis. I looked on CBS. He's ranked 288 right now. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Perfect. I read his NFL draft report. Doesn't quite have the arm strength you're looking for. Perfect.
I don't know. I think he has the arm strength.
That's what I thought. It seemed like he was like throwing ropes. One more thing before we move on. Niners didn't trade for Mac Jones. He went to the Jags. I thought they might, but
only one offer. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, there were rumors that he was kind of uncoachable, right? There were reports that Belichick told the coaches to be really nice to him and stuff. That's not a good sign.
Well, didn't the reports before he even got drafted, he was partying? Like, a lot of reports where he was partying at the club during, like, right before Alabama games and stuff like that. Like, he wasn't who he really was to the media at Alabama. Like, a lot of people said that coming out. And then he wasn't a good coachable player in the NFL. Like, not shocking.
He kind of came across to me always as, like, a third-string quarterback who never really thought he was going to play, but then got an opportunity for a year, was on the best team, and sort of blacked out and had a really good year, but was never that serious.
But he was also done a little jacked up, too. You can't kind of give him a good offense coordinator in Josh McDaniels, and then
that was true. I felt him on that.
Defensive coordinator and a special teams coach. That's like me coaching the offense in the NFL. It's not going to work. You know what I mean?
It's not
going to work.
All right. Let's make some picks. It's pick time. Sleeper pick. Boom. So high tech around here. Okay. I have yet to win any of these on Sleeper. Oh, and I want to win because I'm competitive. People at home want to play. There's the promo code right there, COHN. Use it for your first entry. Get a deposit match up to $500 and get entered in a contest to win a signed Brandon Ayuk jersey that's right over here next to me. Okay. Warriors are terrible. They played last night. I almost won, but I picked Chris Paul to get a double-double. He had 10-9. So I'm mad at Chris Paul. But they're not playing today. We got Atlanta, New Orleans. Hold on, we got sack. Should we do sack?
Yeah, let's do sack. Sack's a good team. That's who they're playing. They're playing Houston, a young athletic team.
They're playing Houston. So how about Fox? 26.5 points. You think he'll...
Yeah, he should go off against them because they're young, they're athletic. They don't really play defense, and they want to get out and run, and that's what Fox wants to do.
Beautiful. I love that. More for Fox. I want to win this. I'm confident on that pick.
I need you to take a pick at one point because last time you made me pick every single one. And
okay, I will. Let me just show you the picks I made yesterday. Look at how close I was. This was me. Zach Collins, double-double. No! I was right. Kuminga, 28.5 points and rebounds. Out of nowhere. He had nothing in the first half. 29. Klay Thompson, 5 threes. Obvious. It's easy money. Chris Paul, 10-9.
That's crazy.
Really upsetting me. It's all right, though.
I mean, yesterday what was upsetting is I don't know if you watch, you're into UFC, I had Chito Vera. I needed him to get one takedown. He was getting beat up, standing up. He cannot get one takedown. Didn't even try in 5 rounds. I would have won some money.
How about Sabonis?
23. Is that points and assists?
Assistant rebounds.
Assistant rebounds.
He has a triple-double. How about no on the triple-double?
That's a good one. No on the triple-double?
No on it. I don't think he's going to... I'm going to pick against him having a triple-double. Picking against him having a triple-double, I think that's a good pick. All right, what's our next pick? Green?
Is that Jalen Green at 19? Yeah. I think he's been playing pretty well lately.
Yeah, he had 27 the last game.
Announced that he's having a kid and he starts playing great.
Yeah, kid factor. We got to put more.
Yeah, got to go more.
Picking more on this one. One more. I feel like I'd have better chances to win if I kept it at 3, but I want to do. I get greedy. Maybe that's why I've lost every single time.
That's what the issue is.
I think it is. Dylan Brooks. Can we pick something for Dylan Brooks?
Dylan Brooks. There's always a foul number usually for Dylan Brooks, which is hilarious. I find that one hilarious.
Where are you?
I know a lot of the sites I use, they have like a foul number for him.
We also have Murray. Keegan Murray. He's a good... How about threes for Keegan Murray?
What are his threes at?
What happened to Keegan Murray? He was a great player.
He's one and a half? Oh, go over.
One and a half. He hasn't broken that in a while.
Go over. Today. He's a good shooter. Against a young team, against a player who got picked right before him, I believe. Yeah, go over on that one.
All right, De'Aaron Fox picking more on the points. The bonus picking less on the triple double. Jalen Green more on the points. Keegan Murray more on the three pointers. I want to win. I like the sleeper app because I'm not that into regular season basketball. But now I'm like, get another three, please. Anyway, you want to play? It's a QR code, promo code CONE. Pause match up to $500. Get to picking. All right. Are the Niners... Marco, I have a question for you. This show's called
Ask Marco. I have a question for you.
I got a question for you. Are the 49ers all in truly?
Man, I wanted you to go first on this one because I know when we're messaging back and forth.
I can go first.
I want you to go first on this one because this one's one of those ones where it's, I want to hear what you have to say before I reply to it.
I mean, what have they done? They haven't made any move yet. They've just kept things together and fired Steve Wilks. What they did was shuffle some things around on the coaching staff, but they brought back Colt McKivitz. Everyone said, okay, hey, look, the Niners, they lost, but they're going to overhaul their offensive line. It's going to be a different team next year. Haven't done that. So, I don't know. It feels like we've heard that they're spending a lot of money on their roster, the most expensive roster in the league. Seems like the Javon Hargrave deal wasn't necessarily a game changer for him. Seems like they're kind of just in wait and see mode right now. This is the way I look at it.
And what's kind of concerning to me is how they are in wait and see mode, but they're also not in, hey, let's extend Fred Warner. Let's get Charvarius Mooney a new contract. Let's create some cap space somewhere. Like, are we going to keep just running it back with the same play? Like, if you're truly all in, you're adjusting your team to get better somewhere. And I have not seen that yet. Like, I truly want to see the 49ers get better at somewhere this free agency, this draft. But I don't think they're going to be able to because they don't want to trade away any players. They don't want to cut any players to save money. For example, I don't see Juice getting cut. Like, truly, how he only plays 40% of the snaps. You're going to pay him $7 million. Like, what's to me, what's crazy is people got more upset about Colton McKivitz getting a $7 million deal, but Juice is getting paid $7 million. And the biggest point in the NFL, to win in the NFL, was to have a quarterback, protect your quarterback, and get after the quarterback.
Right.
That's Juice doesn't do any of those.
No. No, he doesn't. He's a fancy run blocker who goes in motion.
So that's where I'm like, wait, we're mad that Colton got extended for seven, but then a fullback, a glorified offensive weapon.
Don't call him an offensive weapon. Don't call a guy who had 19 touches this year an offensive weapon. No. Offensive decoy.
That's what he is. Decoy.
He's a decoy. He's an expensive decoy.
Do the Niners have any? Can Braden Willis do what he does?
I don't know about Braden Willis, but another tight end could do what he does. Or they could become more of a three wide receiver offense, and Juwan Jennings is like the best blocking wide receiver in football. So there's a lot of ways they could run. They don't need Juszczyk to run the ball.
No, they don't.
No.
I mean, look what the Rams did. The Rams went away from that fullback, and they went a three receiver set, and they used their third receiver.
Two tight ends either way. Role. Yeah. So here's the thing. Like, coming into the free agency, a lot of people were talking about, you know, the Niners are technically over the cap, but man, they could create cap space in so many different ways if they needed to. You know, they could restructure Debo. They could restructure the Travarius Ward. They could restructure Fred Warner and create 20, 30, 40 million. Yeah, if they want to spend a lot more money, but they're already spending about $300 million on this team this year, and it's possible that just won't create the cap space. Like, when they redid Colton McKivitz's contract, one way to look at that is that's how they're creating cap space this year, and it's not a lot. It's not 15. I mean, they could restructure Debo, but that would make it harder to trade him next year, and they might want the flexibility to trade him next year. They might just bite the bullet and pay him $28 million this year.
Which to me just tells me you're not all in. Like, if you're truly all in, like, you're making moves. Like, you can't say we're all in this year. We understand that our window with Brock Purdy, of him having a cheap contract, is now. And then just purely going completely off what you're saying, not creating no cap space, not doing any extra moves in free agency.
We already have an expensive team. What do you want from us? You're this much better than the Lions, and they're going to make a bunch of moves this offseason.
To be honest, like, that's to me where I'm concerned, is like, everyone else is getting better in the NFL, but the 49ers. And that's been
Rams
the
are young
few
and getting
years.
Better. Lions are young and getting better. Packers are young and getting better. Niners are old and standing pat.
And that's the concern. The biggest word you said is old. They're getting old. Yeah. People don't want to admit that the Niners are getting old. They truly don't want to admit that they're truly getting old. What happens when you start getting older is you start getting more injured. You start getting slower. And all the younger teams are going to start catching up to you. For example, the Lions were right there. The Lions are right there with the Niners, and they're completely catching up. So for me, I think the Niners need to be truly all in. Go get a real starting center. There's so many starting centers out there in this market. You could save $4 million by cutting Jake Brendel. Go get a younger center who could start and be a really good center for you. There's guards out there. There's tackles out there. But what I'm looking at is this defense hasn't been the same since they lost D4 to injuries and to retirement.
That's true.
There's good enough edge rushers out there that you could create enough cap space around $10 million by restructuring contracts and extending some. Go get that speed guy. Go get Josh Uche. Go get Bryce Huff from the Jets, who knows your system. Like, you need to get better at some point, and they're not doing it by keeping Chase Young, or they're not doing it by the Hargrave last year was terrible. I thought that was a terrible contract. So they're not
that Hargrave deal. They're not. Is like haunting them now. I mean, he can't stop the run, and he's not a dominant pass rusher, and he's really expensive, and he's 31. Yikes.
So to be all in, Grant, what would, if you were the Niners, you're the quality control, to be all in, what move are you making, or what are you truly doing to say I'm all in?
I don't see how the Niners can bring back the same starting five on their offensive line and say that they're all in. Like, the offensive line is a problem. So you, whether it's center, guard, right tackle, there needs to be a big addition to this offensive line. Otherwise, it's the same offensive line. I don't take this team that seriously. Sorry. Now, if they go out and get Khalil Mack, that's a game changer. But are they going to go have another extremely high-priced defensive lineman in his 30s? Third one? Maybe not.
I had something interesting someone tell me. So what, a family friend, we're talking, and he was like, why go get edge rushers? He was like, why? He was like, the NFL isn't going to let you in the Super Bowl. They're not going to let the edge rushers win the Super Bowl.
That's a great point. I can't really disagree with that. And frankly, they're not necessarily replacing D Ford. They're replacing Samson Ebukam, who was terrific for this defense. They had a number one defense with him. He was great at setting the edge. And he was a pretty good pass rusher. If they could get that guy a three down D end who was really good against the run, they'd be in good shape, because it's not like Hargrave's going to stop the run.
And that kind of player is not going to break the bank. Like, Samson Ebukam, not breaking the bank at all.
Mm-mm. I mean, it's not Hassan Reddick. Maybe it's Josh Sweat. No, he's not that good against the run. I don't know who it is.
They definitely need to get better in the secondary. That's where you're going to win championships. Look, if you look at the past few teams to win championships, their secondary is playing at an elite level. Mm-hmm. Their D-line is playing at a solid level. For example, look at the Kansas City Chiefs, who just beat the Niners. Mm-hmm. Elite secondary.
No D-line, weaknesses.
None. One outside of Chris Jones on the D-line was imposing.
Yeah, it seems like the Niners defense really doesn't have like an 11. Like, it's not 11 deep. Whether they're a nickel or base, that third linebacker, that third cornerback is just a liability. So you can't have your third corner be Ambry Thomas or Logan Ryan. It's got to be someone better than that. You're in nickel way too much for Ambry Thomas to be playing 60% of the snaps, 70% of the snaps. They got to get better at that spot.
I got someone for you, Grant. The Niners should make a trade, whether they use their draft capital in free agency to go get a corner. Rumors are Greg Newsome wants a new contract. Greg Newsome is potentially on the trade block. Elite young corner. His contract, he has 2 years of two years of team control. Barely going to be 24 in this year. You go out, you get a good corner who's not going to be making much money. Give up a second round pick for him. What do you have to lose? You're giving up a second round pick for two years of team control, where you could extend him next year, let him play on his fifth year option. That's, I think, what they should do. Go trade with the Browns, who have Denzel Ward, who's an expensive corner. They also have Martin Emerson, who was last year was a rookie and played phenomenal. Go out and get Greg Newsome. Go make a big splash like that.
I'm with you, man. I think you should make the bigger move at corner. You could get a solid player, like someone maybe not as good as Samson Ebukam, but better than Cleveland Farrell, a solid three down base end And then if you have just a better run defense and no weaknesses in your secondary, your pass rush is going to get home. You're going to be in third and long situations. You're going to get coverage sacks. Like, you have more than enough talent on this defense to have a great pass rush. So fix everything else. The Niners kept trying to add to their pass rush last year, and it wasn't working because they couldn't stop the run. Yeah, oh, let's add Chase Young. Oh, but he can't stop the run either. It's third and three. I'm just saying.
If you look at the Browns, like, look at their draft picks. They have, I believe, 5 draft picks this year. They have a second, a third, a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh. I'm sure they would love an extra second and a fourth. I'm sure they would love that. They already have 2 really good corners, Martin Emerson, Denzel Ward. Allows them to add to their team. They're going to have to eventually pay Newsom after this year. They're not going to pay him $20 million that Denzel Ward is already commanding. Go get him. That's how you're truly all in. Go get Greg Newsom. Let him play outside. You keep Denomino Lenore inside at nickel. Now you have an elite secondary across the board. You win a championship. Get better.
Thank you. Because you're not going to win the Super Bowl with your D-line getting held. And the Niners are going to complain about it, but that's just the way it is. They're going to get held. Moises Rosales says, when will you look at Kyle Shanahan the way Bosa looks at Trump? Wow. What a photo op that was. All day, every day, Kim says, Penix Jr., please. Boy. All day, every day? Okay. All right. That name is dangerous, man. Every time I see it, I'm like, do I have to read it? Do I have to?
You just got to call him Michael. Michael Jr.
Penix. Okay. This is not necessarily a Niner topic, but free agency does kind of start tomorrow. And once again, Kirk Cousins is a free agent, and he's going to get a ton of money. And the team that brings him in is going to tell their fan base that they got a franchise quarterback. And I just don't get it, man. I'm sorry. Why is there such a big market for Kirk Cousins every time he's 36? He's coming off an Achilles tear. He wasn't particularly mobile before it. He's won 1 playoff game in his life. Why is this guy going to get another contract that gives him probably $35, $40 million a year?
Are we sure the Niners aren't all in?
Yeah, because it's like, let's say it's the Falcons. What have you accomplished? Oh, great, you got Kirk Cousins. Move over for Atlanta. They're not going anywhere. I don't understand it. I don't get the Kirk Cousins. His whole career is a mystery to me. He's a solid quarterback who made like $1 billion. And I don't get it. I don't get it.
I mean, a super big market. Are the Niners in that market? That's a good question. Like, that's where it's like, are they all in where they're like, hey, you know what? Playing our cards to our chest. Let's not show anyone we're going to create $40 million randomly, like, super fast for Kirk Cousins. Like, I don't think it happens, but I have to bring that up because Kyle Shanahan loves Kirk Cousins, and I think that's why Kirk Cousins keeps getting super big contracts. It's a Kyle Shanahan effect. Kyle Shanahan absolutely loves him.
Yeah.
So teams think he's better than he is. I think he's a top 10 quarterback. Very consistent. But he's not. I think he's one of those quarterbacks that's top 10.
He's 36. I mean, really? You're going to bring him? You sign him now. Like, draft a guy. Atlanta. Hey. Draft a guy. What are you doing now? I could see in 2017 or 2018 the Niners being like, yeah, you know, he's 30. Yeah, like now, no. But hey, God love him. I just can't get over it, and I know no one cares. But you're right; it is the Kyle Shanahan. I think that's why I wanted to talk about it. Just Kyle liking a guy. I mean, Kirk Cousins has hundreds of millions of dollars because Kyle likes him. That's incredible. Incredible.
I mean,
I wish he liked me. Probably,
exactly. I was about to say the same thing. Like, I want a couple. Just let me hold a band. But for Kirk, I do think him going to like Atlanta, it does help him in a way because they have a really good run game. Raheem Morris is going to be the defensive guy there. Hopefully they could get their defense going. And if they can, they have enough weapons offensively to put up.
Losing the first round of the playoffs. No doubt. I thoroughly think. Sorry. He's not going anywhere with Kirk. No team with Kirk is going anywhere. He's Goff. They're so similar. And Goff's fine. Actually, Goff might be better. He's been to a Super Bowl. Who's better, Goff or Cousins? At least he's younger. He hasn't torn his Achilles.
I'm taking Cousins. I got to take Cousins. I wouldn't say Goff is better because
it's his face. Goff just has a face that you can't get behind.
He just constantly looks scared, bro. Like, he constantly looks paranoid.
Cousins looks like he has everything under control.
That's the thing, is he brings the confidence. He brings
He's
confidence.
Got the seriousness. Goff looks confused. Goff's got this, like, what? Look all the time. Him and Darnold, man, so confused all the time. Like,
for Cousins, so for example, let's throw the hypothetical out there. Do you think the Niners could be in play for Cousins? Like, I mean, with how much Kyle Shanahan's always loved him, he's always talked about, I wanted the opportunity to go after Cousins. It's the first time he's a free agent with the Niners just lost the Super Bowl, in the sense of it wasn't the quarterback's fault, but the quarterback's super cheap. If you could bring in Kirk Cousins and win a championship.
It wasn't his fault, but at the same time, the offense didn't score a lot of points. I mean, one of their touchdowns was a touchdown pass by Juwan Jennings.
Elite.
I'm just saying. Would he have called that if Kirk Cousins was his quarterback? Would he have been digging that deep in his bag for touchdowns from other players? I'm just saying. I don't know. I think, look, knowing Kyle the way I do, which isn't that well, but it's been a long time, I think part of him would absolutely love to do this. But also, he's not crazy. And he has he's very like attuned into what people will think of what he does. And if he moves off Purdy for Cousins, people will call him crazy. He doesn't want that smoke. He doesn't.
Well, I mean, he's shown to move off of quarterbacks pretty fast, right? Like, he's shown to do that. Like,
yeah, but Purdy hasn't given him anything that he can't throw Purdy under the bus. If he tries, people will object. He's a large fan base.
But it could also be a situation where you could, hey, let me convince the ownership to bring in Kirk Cousins on a 1 or 2 year deal. You still have Brock Purdy around.
Chill on the bench for you.
Hey, let's learn from Kirk Cousins. You're still our quarterback. You're our future. But I think Kirk Cousins can win us the Super Bowl this year with this roster. It's not
a nice wedding present for Brock Purdy. Hey, congratulations. You're the backup for a year.
I mean,
now you can focus on your family.
Well, the reason why I think this is a possibility,
but here, it would only work if it was like a multi-year deal, because they can't. Can they really create $40 million in cap space in a minute?
They could. Debo, Trent.
What would that do for the locker room? They've spent the last year telling any reporter who will listen how great Brock Purdy is. He's underrated. He doesn't get enough credit. He's our leader. He's our guy. We go as he goes. Psych! Here comes Kirk Cousins.
Well, they did that with Jimmy.
They did.
They did.
They're all rallying behind CJ Beathard.
Like, so it's. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I think it's a very unlikely situation. But like, the way Kyle Shanahan mourned over not being able to even attempt to get Kirk Cousins in free agency after they traded for Jimmy Garoppolo, it just tells me how much you love someone. Like, if you literally were depressed, he said I was depressed, and John Lynch had to talk me into Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, you don't become depressed for no reason.
Well, in retrospect, he should have been depressed. That was a terrible decision, trading for Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe they all would have gotten fired, but if they had just stuck to the plan, Kirk Cousins is a far better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo ever was, ever will be. So I can understand, like, if Kyle really understood, maybe he thought Cousins was great, or maybe he just realized that Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't, but whoa, that was a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think Kirk Cousins ends up staying in Minnesota at the end of the day. I don't see him going to Atlanta. There's too much money tied into Minnesota. Like, Minnesota has to try to get him done, because they're going to lose out on, I want to say, $28 million this year. That'll go towards Kirk Cousins, because he had void years and stuff like that. So they're trying to get something done. They might lose Justin Jefferson if they don't have Kirk Cousins.
Okay, best guess as to how much money he's made in his career.
Oh, in his career, I'm going to go 250. No, I'm going to go 280 million.
I'm looking at 185 with the Vikings and 46 from the Commanders. So I'm surprised it's not more. But hey, wait till his next contract comes through. He's going to break $300 million for, man. Wow. And whatever team signs him, I'm going to be like, well, don't have to worry about that team. They're going to top out at about 10 wins and one playoff win. Good luck. The quarterback market is so weird in the NFL. You have like the Kirk Cousins market, where it's like, you're locking yourself into high-level mediocrity, and you know it. And some teams are like, we want that. Yes. Minnesota.
Do you think it could give one of those teams? Do you think it could give one of those teams that bridge quarterback though? Like if you give them a 3-year deal, and then you draft a young quarterback, the kind of how the
who could learn how to be like Kirk Cousins. Hey, worked for Jordan Love, right? He learned from the best. Well, you wouldn't be learning from the best; you'd be learning from Kirk Cousins. But what did Cameron Hayward say? No, it wasn't Cameron Hayward. It was a dude from the Cam Jordan,
from
the Saints. Cam Jordan. Good slow decisions. What do we call them? Kirk Cousins.
Oh, he did slow decisions. Say that.
Yeah,
he did say that. That's crazy. Look,
all I know is that Kirk Cousins diced up the Niners this season. He made it look easy, and he didn't have Justin Jefferson. I respect that, but he tore his Achilles.
But he is kind of. If you think about it, though, Grant, he is sort of young in terms of NFL quarterbacks' ages. Like they're able to go. We've seen quarterbacks go into their early 40s, mid 40s in a way. Now, we've only seen Brady do it. We've seen Drew Brees go to like 42. So he can maybe have another 5 years, but it's just like you're saying, that Achilles injury does probably take a year or two off of his career.
It's just no one bats an eye at these contracts that he gets. Everyone's like, oh yeah, Kirk Cousins on the market. It's fine. It's like, whoa. Like, when is this over? When is the Kirk? Because everyone always makes an excuse for him, or he's going to be this. Like, he's 36. He's coming off. It's over. The Kirk Cousins story is almost over. It was a great story. Made a lot of money. He's the underdog, whatever. But like, he's Tony Romo.
Who are you taking, Kirk, right now? Who you have to pay, or are you taking Russell Wilson, who you could get super duper cheap?
Russell.
Taking Russell.
Russell Wilson. Yes, I'm taking Russell Wilson.
Is it the contract value that gets you? You don't have to pay him.
Yeah, the contract's nice. You don't have to pay him. And he can move. And he finds ways to beat the Niners. I like a quarterback who can scramble. I know Russell Wilson isn't what he used to be, but I don't know. Yeah, the money. He's free. He's freaking free. Yeah, I'll take him.
Okay, I mean, it makes sense, especially if you're a team who doesn't have a quarterback and you want to drop the young quarterback. Take Russ, who is the ultimate like team guy. Like, he tries to be that team guy. He's going to teach the young quarterback something. I don't think Kirk would. I don't think Kirk's going to teach a young quarterback that's coming after his job
how to be a robot, how to play the position like a robot.
It's interesting.
A lot of Kirk Cousins shade right here for no reason. The guy's just going to get paid, and I'm jealous. Give me some of that money. Let me hold some, Kirk. Pause.
Get paid, go to Kohl's, buy a new flannel, live a great life.
From everything I've heard about Kirk Cousins, he's just the nicest guy.
I can see that. He looks super nice.
You know, one of these day three or third, fourth round picks who never really big times people, which is nice.
Well, we know Kirk Cousins is not going to be a Niners quarterback, but according to Grant, we have Kadon Slovis on his way to the Bay.
I have a pretty good gut feel for how Kyle and his dad look at quarterbacks. Just watch him for 2 minutes at BYU. You see him throw on the run. You see him turn his back to the defense. Those are like non-negotiables for the Shanahan. They need to see you do it before they invest in you. He did it. He's got all the reps. He can run. He's going to be there in the seventh round.
You know what,
I thought about it for 2 minutes. They're getting him.
I'm going to watch a lot of Kadon Slovis' film. And any clips I see that are Kyle Shanahan level throws or Kyle Shanahan like plays, I'm going to record it and I'm going to post it on Twitter and tag you in them. Every single one.
Please do. I'm retweeting it. I've been a Kadon Slovis expert for 3 hours, and I'm positive he's going to be the Niners' next quarterback and probably their next starter. So,
ooh. He says starter.
Starter. Mark. Yeah. And on that note, I think we'll end right there. Keaton, you didn't know it, but you are the next great 49ers quarterback in line with Brock and Joe. Looking forward to meeting you. Marco, good stuff today.
I appreciate you having me on, Grant.
Thanks for having us today. Thanks for watching. I'll be back tomorrow. Next week's going to be crazy. So I'm looking forward to it. Stuff's going to happen. Although the Niners are just going to stand pat, huh? What? They extended McKivitz. What more do you want?
And they have juice.
They got it all. See you guys.